On today's episode of Into Your Head Podcast, hello, barber beheadings, overlooked fables, topical crap, and lots more. Absolutely fucking fantastic, hello. We've a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. Oh, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics. We're positively booming to the seams with topics. We've got topics coming out of, oh, this razor, his head razor. I have a head razor now. I shaved my head rather than getting it caught. I don't want my head caught after seeing all those fucking beheadings on the internet. The last thing I want now is to go to anyone with a scissors or a knife and have them fucking scrape my face off. No, no. So I have my own head shaver now. I cut my own hair. I don't shave it completely bald. Oh no, I just cut it short. Just like they did a few years ago when they had the writer's strike in America. Every TV drama procedural series got cut short. I get the same done with my hair now, except I don't get it done. I get it done by doing it myself, so I'm not getting it done by someone else. So I suppose in a way I am getting it done. I'm just not getting it done by someone else. I'm getting it done by me. As if they say, if you want a job done properly, get someone to do it. But if you just want it done on the cheap, do it yourself. Do it yourself. You don't want to go sitting in some hair cutting shop, some Sweeney Todd-esque fucking upstairs thing over a butcher's with a fucking thing that he puts your dead body down that goes down a laundry chute down to the butcher's. No, you don't want to be doing that. That's off-putting when you go into a place and the fella is decapitating everyone and killing them. Oh no, that's not my idea of a morning out of a Saturday morning to get my hair cut. My idea of a haircut is to just cut my hair. I like to, as that shampoo ad says, I like to wash my hair and go. Of course, that was 20 years ago, before wash and go was consigned to the 1 euro stores. Back in the day, wash and go was the big thing. All the young people were having it. They were saying, oh, look, it's a shampoo and conditioner in one. It's got shampoo and conditioner. You put it in your hair and it conditions it and it washes it. And then you put water in. Water isn't included. A proper 2-in-1 shampoo would have to, because they're selling now 3-in-1 shampoos. It's the shampoo and conditioner and shower gel body wash. They say it's an all-in-one. It is not an all-in-one. If it was an all-in-one, it would have the water in it, which may well start now, because the more water meters are being switched on next month, we're all going to start having to pay for water to our house now, so it might be advantageous if you're a shampoo toiletries manufacturer. It might be advantageous to start marketing a 4-in-1 that has shampoo, conditioner, shower gel and water, a built-in disposable shower of some sort built into the bottle. Maybe there's already one that's just for people when they go camping. There's an idea for you. Go on to Dragon's Den or whatever it's called in America, Shark Tank, and say, hello, I have an idea. You know water meters? And if you go on the American version, they'll probably say, yes, we know water meters. We've had them for 800 years. Most civilized countries are. You people over in Ireland are getting freaked out because you've been suddenly being told you're going to have to pay for it the same as everyone else. Of course, our answer to that is we're already paying for it out of our taxes. We're already paying this out of our taxes and we're being charged twice. And your answer to that is, when did this become a political program? And my answer to that is, it always has been. All of those two cats walk into the bar stories were all fables that had, Aesculapian fables that had political points to them. You just never managed to notice them up till people now. You're now going to listen to their programme in a whole new light. Isn't it absolutely fantastic? It's like having a fresh new podcast to listen to. You go back and listen to all 772 episodes in a whole new light. Well, except this one, because you're just listening to this one now for the first time. Unless you're not, in which case you won't either won't hear this, or it's your second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth or ninth or so on time. Either way, suffice to say hello and welcome to the show. Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-piling, unused homebrew bucket used as... Oh no, it's not unused, that's a lie. That's a blatant lie, albeit an inadvertent one. I just wasn't thinking. That's the problem. When great men don't think, that's when evil triumphs. But no, I was just looking around me for inspiration. I have a pile of boxes and bags here which I use to receive the internet grocery shop when it arrives. It arrives offline, so I use these various crates and buckets and things. One of the things I use is it's this, basically. That's what it is. It's this. And what's this, you're probably thinking? You're thinking, what is this? He said something about a bucket. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a bucket. It's a bucket. A big plastic bucket. A big god-awful plastic bucket. Oh, it's got measurements. Let's see how much it holds. Let's have a look at this now. Holds 28 somethings, approximate graduation indicative. Not suitable for commercial use. Not suitable for commercial use. Apparently, if you use this homebrew beer bucket for commercial use, it'll just fall apart, or else it'll probably, I don't know, maybe it won't pass the tests for whatever the standards you're supposed to use for beer buckets in the commercial beer industry. But no, it's considered perfectly fine for homebrew. If you're making homebrew beer with this kit, they say, no, it's fine. The plastic will probably melt into the beer and poison you, but there won't be a health inspector coming around to check are you going to poison your customers, so it's fine. It's all legally above board. You can poison yourself as much as you want to your heart's content, which I suppose you are doing anyway if you're making a bucket of beer that size. You're up to no good if you're making, especially if you're making it as homebrew, you're obviously going to drink it yourself. Fortunately, I'm too lazy to use this bucket. I was given this homebrew bucket beer kit some time ago as a gift. Never used it. Couldn't be arsed. Never got around to it. Had all good intentions. Oh yes, I had excellent intentions. I had intentions of making a big bucket full of a lethal alcohol that could kill me. So I let those good intentions slip and instead just got on with my life. Haven't I terrible? But no, it's used now. It's leading a new life as a bucket for receiving groceries when they come delivered in a van from Tesco. So I'm getting use out of it now. And if I remember rightly, I used the bottles for something else as well. What else did I use? There was a bag of yeast or something. I never used that. Except I did, because I used it to weigh down the wheelie bin on a windy day when I had to put it out. The wheelie bin. I found on windy days here, when you put out the wheelie bin and you haven't enough heavy stuff in it, one cure to there being not enough heavy stuff in it is to have heavy stuff available. So I like to keep the heavy stuff aside and have one heavy item every week to put in the wheelie bin to weigh it down, especially the recycling bin. Although you couldn't put a bag of yeast in the recycling bin. Although could you? If it hasn't been used at all yet, then surely if it's not recyclable but you haven't used it at all yet, then surely it has one cycle left to use. So if it hasn't been used at all, then that means it's recyclable, or at least cyclable. I should ring up the bin people and say, you know the way you have a recycling bin, what if I have something that's not recyclable but it's good for one cycle and it hasn't been used yet? Because if you go down to the charity shop with that and you said, oh, this is never being used, they'll be absolutely delighted with you. They'll say, say, oh, we're not used to stuff that's never being used. That's fantastic. That's like new stuff. And we're essentially a secondhand shop. We just don't put that on the sign. We say a thrift shop or a charity shop. We don't say secondhand because, for one thing, you could be sued for that. If something turns out to be third or fourth hand and you have secondhand on the label, then you're calling people. At least you're calling them for a good cause, though, because you're raising money for the blind or the deaf or the poor or the people who don't have money or the people who have too much money or the ice bucket challenge people who all got pneumonia. That's what they did. I know your first thought when you heard about this, he has a bucket. I wonder, is he going to do the ice bucket challenge? He fucking well is not, because as explained in the last episode, it's September when my wife goes back to school and starts a new class and has all these small kids who are new to the world. They're about 5 years of age and they're all coming in getting calls and giving them to her and then onward to me. So no, I'm not going to pour a bucket of ice over my head to add to that. I've already had to stock up on cough syrups for winter and the whole likes of it, for all the diseases I'm going to have brought home to me. So no, I will not pour a bucket of ice over. Oh, that's just dry ice, I suppose. Would dry ice work? The dry ice bucket challenge. Maybe it will. Well, I use that as the title of the show. Hold on a second. We'll move Trojan politics down to the topic listings and we'll replace that as a title with dry ice challenge. There we go. A topical show title for once, because you don't usually have them. It's usually just some crap. Well, now it's topical crap. In fact, maybe I should call it topical crap. No, I won't. I'll just add to that to the topic listings as well. Trojan politics, topical crap. Hold on. Topical crap. There we go. Isn't that fantastic? We've a growing list I'm doing as I go along for the topic description, because I don't like leaving it till I'm done. It's a pain in the arse. You finish recording and you're mixing it down, doing all your technical stuff, and then you think, Christ, I have to write something in the description. And then you think, what in the name of Christ am I going to write in the description? Am I going to have to go back and listen to myself and find out what I said? Because I never know what I said. I don't know what I said just now. What did I say just now? The only way to find out would be to go back and listen at the end. But at the end of this, I want to go out and do stuff while this is uploading. And then I want to come back and do other stuff. And then I want to come up here and find that everything is being uploaded and it just needs to be posted to Facebook and Twitter. That's what I do after this. I post to Facebook and Twitter. I say, look at this. I have a new podcast. I know the last one was a week and a half ago, but there's a new one now. So everything's new. You can ignore anything that came before, because that's what you want in media. You want new. Everything has to be new, brand spanking new. You put on the television and they say, look at this, it's brand new MasterChef Australia, that's live, it's as live as we damned. And then they put new to this channel, and then it gets down to, they go, oh, it's new, kind of new. We've shown it 8 times this week, but it's still new this week. And then they fill up the whole screen with this big long rigmarole saying, live, not live, for it was live when we first broadcast it a week ago, and it's new in that it's, it came out this week. It's just that we've shown it 14 times today already, but it's new if this is the only time of day at which you watch television. And then the whole screen is full of fucking text. It's like a fucking news channel then, which is, I suppose, is appropriate. If you have new stuff, if everything's considered new, then you should call it a news channel. Might be more useful than a traditional news channel, which just has news repeated ad nauseum. To say this is new news and it's live, except it's not new news. It's just maybe it is new news. Is news new? It probably is. I don't know. I suppose the answer's in the question. Is news new? If it it's new. If there's news, a news is, what is news is presumably the plural of new. So there are several new things in the news. Or is it? Is it? Or maybe is it? Is a news the plural of new? What's a group of new things called? Are they called news or are they called something else? Are they called maybe a school of news? Like you do with fishes. You don't say fishes, you say a school of fish. So maybe with a school of new things, you call it something else other than news. I don't know. Why can't you just call it news, though? Yeah, we overcomplicate things like this, you see. That's the problem. Anyway. Into your
head. Do you like this program? Well, it's about time you proved it. Search for Into Your Head in iTunes, leave a 5-star rating, and write a nice review under it. Do it today. It's been six years, you know. I'll be checking. I eat podcast listeners for breakfast, you know. Breakfast. Anyway, review the podcast in iTunes. It's important. Hash browns and toast, please.
You're listening to
the Into Your Head podcast
from Ireland with your humble proprietor, Neil.
Cats walk into a bar. One of the cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, "Hello, can I see a lunch menu, please? Can I see a lunch menu, please? Whatever that is. I've heard that's what you're supposed to say. So you're supposed to say, "Can I see a lunch menu, please?" And within 20 minutes, you're cramming food down your gullet. And if there's one thing as a cat that I'm looking to do when I leave the house, it's to cram food down my gullet. I'm not out sightseeing, I'm out hunting for food. Can I see your luncheon menu, please? And the man behind the bar says, "Certainly, sir. It's just there on the shelf behind me. Can you see it? It's the big white booklet." And the cat says, "Thank you very much. I was hoping you could give me a copy so I could take it back to my seat and have a look inside and peruse the contents." And the man behind the bar says, "What are you, some sort of publisher or something? You're looking to publish my menu as a book and make it a bestseller, is that it?" And the cat says, "No, are you new here?" And the barman says, "No, I've just never had anyone ask for the food menu before, which now that I think of it would explain why we don't sell any food." And the cat says, it would indeed. "Do you want a food sales consultant?" And the barman says, "Yes, please." And the cat says, "You're looking at one." And the man behind the bar says, "Are you sure?" And the cat says, "Yes, I'm sure. Although, wait a minute, are you cross-eyed?" And the man behind the bar says, "Well, I'm pretty pissed off sometimes, but no, I always dot my eyes. I don't cross them. If you cross your eye, that's like, I don't know, what does that mean? Do you want to be crossing your eyes? If you mean put a line, a horizontal line across the top, then yes, but only if you're also putting a similar horizontal line across the bottom of the eye, and it's a capital I. Well, in other cases, though, I just put a dot over it, a little straight vertical line. That's what I do with my eyes." And the cat says, "Shut your fucking stupid ugly head." And the man behind the bar says, "Sir, yes, sir." And the cat says, "Are you being sarcastic?" And the man behind the bar says, no, I'm from a military background. When someone gives me something that sounds like an order, my instinct is to say, "Sir, yes, sir." And the cat says, "Are you really from a military background, or have you just watched a lot of Tom Hanks movies?" And the barman says, "Why can't it be both?" And the cat says, "I never said it can't be both. Did I say I can't be both? I don't think I did. We could check the recording if you want, because this is being recorded. Did you know?" And the barman says, "Is it?" And the cat says, "I'll take that as a no, you don't know. Well, you know now, so let me say it again. This is being recorded, you know." And the man behind the bar says, "Yes, I know it's being recorded. I didn't a minute ago, but I know now." And the cat says, "That's better." And the man behind the bar says, "Better than what?" And the cat says, "Better than custard. I'm not sure which it is, but it's a phrase I've heard on the Phil Hendry podcast. He's got a character on it, one of many characters he does, but there's one particular character who likes to say, that's better than custard. Custer or Better Than Custard, and I'm not sure which it is. And the man behind the bar says, oh, that's great, that's great. You're promoting other podcasts here, a bigger podcast with more resources by old men who've been doing radio for 30 years and are very good at it. And the cat says, that's the podcasting world. You promote other people. It's not like supermarkets where you fucking just slam your competitors. No, no, we're all in it together. It's a community. And the man behind the bar says, a community, is that right? Community is a sitcom on the television. And the cat says, well, if it's only on one television, it can't be all that good. And the barman says, I suppose you have a point there. A pint of our finest Guinness. And the cat says, I didn't order that. I was just looking for a food menu. And the barman says, oh, sorry, force of habit, force of habit. You want it anyway, there's no charge. And the cat says, oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Eastwood. Where's my harmonica? Thank you very, very, very much, Mr. Eastwood. And a great night is had by all.
The Into Your Head podcast will be right back after this. We're back with the Into Your Head podcast.
I've always been a great believer in the dictum, oh look, you've 20 minutes and 43 seconds of a show done, you could leave it at that and be a wuss and wuss out, or you could do another 10 minutes and have a proper half hour program, like all the best comedy programs on the television and on the old time radio. Everything's a half an hour is what you want. Oh, I'll go for it. 27 minutes is fine. You could use the excuse that there's, if this was on television, there'd be several minutes of adverts in it, which indeed there would. Indeed there would. If this was on the television, there'd be several minutes of adverts, except you probably wouldn't be able to sell adverts for this crap. So it would just be several minutes of silence. There'd be several minutes of silence, which compared to a lot of the crap that's on the television nowadays could be quite good. Although if it's on the television rather than the radio or the podcast medium, you're going to need something to show during the silence, because there's no such thing as a silent picture. There's silent movies, all right, but if you go and look at a silent movie, you'll find there's stuff going on the screen. The screen is in no way silent at all. In fact, everything is going on. Go and look at a Charlie Chaplin movie. He's not just standing completely still staring at the screen. No, he's not standing there staring at the screen, not moving, doing a statue impression and waiting for movement to be invented. No, sound hadn't been invented yet, but movement had, and that's why they were called movies, because there was movement. It was all about the movement in those days. Nowadays, of course, half of it is about the dialogue. They say, oh, that fella, that Quentin Tarantino face fella, he's great at the dialogue. If you're great at dialogue, go on the radio. Quentin, if you want to do dialogue, go on the radio. That's where you'd go. Don't be wasting bandwidth with all these pictures. When I was a child, I had a thing called a toy radio. It was a thing you had beside your bed when you were 2 or 3 years old, and you'd wind it up and it would play childish music for a minute or two to help you go to sleep or keep you company. So you'd wind it up and it would go, gee, it would play jingly music, or a gold. They'll play some things like the theme tune to London Bridge is Falling Down, which, if you know the true history of that song, it's actually a horror story and completely unsuitable for children because it's about the Black Plague or something. Fortunately, I didn't, so I found it rather soothing. I used to refer to that as a toy radio, but it had pictures on it. The second one I got anyway had pictures on it. It had a scrolling thing, had a screen that scrolled through, and it had pictures on it that you could look at. But even that wasn't wasting bandwidth, because there's just one picture that scrolled through on a roll. If you look at a Quentin Tarantino movie, there's hours and hours of pictures that have been shot somewhere. They've gone off to various locations and got planning permission to film there, and they've hired people, and they've hired extras, and they've hired non-extras, and they've got lighting and everything, despite lots of, even if they go and shoot outside, they get lighting, they say, oh, that the sun is all very great and all, being the biggest star within 90 million miles of the, our planet that lights up a whole solar system, but we need more lighting than that, it's not good enough. Well, it might be good enough, it's just we can't control it. I need lighting that I can control. So he says, fuck the sun, I'm getting my own lighting in. Fucking arrogant prick. Quentin Tarantino, you're an arrogant prick. The sun is one of the finest institutions known to man, and you just decided, fuck this, I'm getting my own lighting in. Absolutely fucking ridiculous. Anyway, where was I? I don't know. I think I'll end the show there. That's what I'll do, because I like my whole little sun thing. That's one of my better ones in a while. Anyway, good morning.
You've been listening to Neil tell you stories. About cats, probably. Neil talks a lot about cats. Send your topic suggestions to studio@interyourhead.com.